Niet. Jongen. Ja.
Nee.
Bijna.
Je gaat erop.
Vermogen bijna. Nee. Nee.
Guess we can start.
No.
Well, few seconds before, but.
No.
No?
Unless you want to tell a joke.
No, I don't have any jokes. Sorry.
Huh?
Still not?
Nope.
Hey.
How much longer is it going to take?
Almost. The suspense.
Yes, go.
There we go. Welcome. I hope you all had a good lunch. We're going to talk about Office add-ins from 0 to 60, or Dutch, from 0 naar 100. For the next 45 minutes, we're going to talk about building your first Office add-in. So we're going to have a look at what are Office add-ins, how can you build them, and what can you actually do with them. The final demo that we have, we're actually going to show an add-in that's retrieving data from Office 365 and shows that in your task pane add-in. And we're going to walk you through the steps that you need to take to actually build such an add-in or provide it into the store, finally. So, if you look at the Office platform, and if you look at the extensibility that is available in the Office platform, there are something called add-ins and web parts, which allow you to build stuff that's either landing in Office as the Office clients or is landing in SharePoint. One of them is Find Time. Find Time is a task pane add-in that allows you to schedule a meeting rather easily. Just invite different people from your organization and it will suggest a time slot for you to have that meeting. That's a typical task pane add-in. Then there is something called a content add-in, where a content add-in is just sort of a layer on top of your document where you can render stuff. So mostly used for visualization, where as a sample, show a map based on your specs. I think we have another sample, EV poll.
Yeah, so if you're attending like this kind of events a lot, you might have seen the EV poll. So the person who speaks would have a live poll on their screen and you would vote via SMS or email and you would see the results live as they go. So you can, so that's also another form of add-in that you can embed directly in your slides.
So one thing to notice is that in the UI, in the web interface, you will usually see that these type of add-ins are an iframe, meaning that if you're working with authentication, you have to be aware that the stuff is running in an iframe. That might have impact on you. Now, you already asked, can you do it in Outlook as well? Yes, you can. There is the option to interact with email, and within an email, you can actually differentiate between whether it's a new email, compose form, or whether it's reading an email, the read form, and you have the option to add or build your add-ins. And a sample that you get out of the box is the unsubscribe add-in that recognizes whether an email, or try to recognize whether an email is a newsletter, and if it's a newsletter, you'll get this neat button saying unsubscribe, and what it does is it will try to unsubscribe you from that specific newsletter, and in the meantime move this message to clutter, meaning that you will no longer see those specific emails. So it's a nice way of interacting with your emails based on the content and executing actions against it. With that, we had the basics of what add-ins can be and how add-ins can work. Now, Waldeck, let's do a real-life demo. What if I wanted to see an add-in working? What do I need to do?
You go to him, you buy a ticket, and then you stand in a queue, ooh, and then eventually you get to see your add-in.
Let's see if we can do it in the next 30 minutes.
All right. Yeah, so we actually prepared for you two samples of add-ins for Office that will hopefully help you understand what Office add-ins are, how they work, and how can you use the abilities that they offer you. So the first one that we have is the one that you see here. Can you see it good in the back? Here, save to group.
This looks one? Good enough.
Like I can do this. Ooh, even better. There you go. You can do that on Mac, right? You can do this. So that's what you get for sitting in a front row. So the end that we have here is, how often do you get emails with attachments from someone else, from someone outside of your org who doesn't collaborate or doesn't have access to your team sites, and they would send you attachment?
Never.
Anyone? No, nobody? Like, you're all collaborating the way you're supposed to be, like sharing links, all that, Dropbox. No? So here, imagine like this, like here, we have email with an attachment. So Albert John sent an email to himself.
Yeah, I don't know why either.
With an attachment, and then imagine that you work with your internal, with your group, in an Office 365 group. So you have collaboration space based on a group. Right, and you get that email with that attachment from someone else, and you would like to share that document, that attachment, with your colleagues in your group. So what do? You go to your email, you download the attachments, you find a way to your group, you open the group, you drag and drop the file there or upload it there. What if, or why not leverage the ability of add-ins to actually do that directly from within the email? So here you see an add-in that works directly in an email, and it's directly within the context of that email with that attachment. So with the add-in, what I can do is I can open it. It will pull up the list of all my Office 365 groups. So I can pick a group. And then if I let me mute that, if I now click upload, it would take that document and upload that for me directly to that group. And I didn't leave email. I'm still in the same email that I got. And I can just archive it then, and document and attachment is already shared with my group. So do you like that better, or do you like download attachment to desktop, find it back, find a group, upload, drag and drop? Which one do you like more?
I really like this one.
I actually thought you would be the other kind of guy.
Yeah. Now, does that mean that add-in is on all my emails? And if I would get an email without an attachment, does that mean that I will see that add-in as well? Or is there a way to actually scope the stuff that we're trying to do?
So as you said, there are many different ways in which you can run an add-in. Like one of them is, for example, here we got email, right? So we have an email already in our inbox. But there are also add-ins that you can run on Compose Form when you're creating new email. And there are actually add-ins that can run in both. So whenever you build an add-in, it's up to you, developer, to tell when you want the add-in to run. And there are multiple ways in which you can do it. So type of form, like new compose or read, is one. And there are also some other as well, right? So before we dive in a code, or actually let's do it now. Let's sure. Dive in a code for this add-in now, and then we will do another one. How about that? So in a code, because we are developers, that's the code of the save to group add-in, and that add-in is built in Angular. How many of you have ever done anything with Angular?
A few.
React, any other JavaScript framework, jQuery, no developers at all? Are you guys IT pros? No
IT pros.
Okay, so I have no idea what you do. that's built in Angular, and that's basically the first proof that Office web add-ins are built on the web stack. There is no COM add-ins. There is no VSTO. You can run it. I mean, I've built the add-in on Mac. You can do that. I don't run Windows on Mac. I run OS X, and you can actually do that. You don't need Windows. You don't need Visual Studio. Of course, if you have it, you get additional benefits, right? Because there is no way to kid yourself that you will get exactly the same efficiency when you run in command line tools comparing to enterprise-grade IDEs, right?
Question.
Yes.
So the question was, does it run on clients as well as in the browser? Yes, it does. It runs on all clients. 2013 and newer.
Yeah. And actually, the idea with that is, so the goal is that wherever you can run Office, you will be able to run add-ins. Whether it's your phone, tablet, whether it's Windows, whether it's on the web, whether it's Mac or whatever do you have, Linux, Android OS, I don't know. Yeah. So the idea is wherever Office is, your add-ins will be too. We aren't there yet, but Microsoft is working really hard to get there. And every single release that we get, they offer us more and more and more. So they offer us additional extension points. They offer us additional abilities. Like, for example, Affair Back, let's say, there was no support for add-ins in Outlook on the Mac. Now it is, right? So they are adding that all the time. And I would say that the place that leads is Office on Windows.
Yeah.
That offers the most capabilities. Whoa, I'm logged out. Why am I logged out? I'm talking. Can't you see? Sorry for that. Yeah, so actually, the idea is that whatever you see in Office on Windows, you will be able to see eventually everywhere, right? So you will be able to run add-ins everywhere. And this add-in is built in Angular. So that proves it's a web stack development now in Office, right? And in a moment, you will finally understand why that thing is on my shirt. What does that mean? With regards to how we run this, if we go to the manifest, which is XML file, if we go here we have some additional info like display name, description, some additional URLs. Because if you think about it, and I think you mentioned that as well, add-in is only an iframe, right? It's a embedded piece of web in your client that runs within the content of your document or email. But that add-in lives on the web. So how does the client know where that add-in is? Well, here you go. Here you have the URL. Here is the URL where the add-in is. So that way, whenever you add an add-in, the client will know well where to pull it from. So the manifest specifies URL where the add-in lives. Additionally, here you see, for example, that the add-in should be granted access to read the contents of the email. Another permission is write, right? So whether the add-in can create new emails or can actually change the content of the email that you are editing. So that's another thing that you can control what you want your add-in to do. And then there are rules. So rules specify when the add-in should actually run. So here we say when item is a message, so it's not a meeting, it's an email, and when we read email, it should run. But also only if the item has attachment, right? Because our add-in is meant to upload attachments to group. But if the email doesn't have attachment, there is no point for our add-in to run and actually to appear on a screen, only for you not to be able to do anything with it, right? Does that make sense? So with that, you can easily control when you show your add-in and when it appears to users. So it doesn't appear on a screen when they cannot use it. And another thing that's interesting is you're in Angular app. So how do you get in your Angular app access to that email? Well, so one of the objects that you get is an object called Office Context. And that basically offers you access to the context of to the context in which your add-in runs. So because now we are in an email, we get the context of LBox item. If we were in Word, which you will see in a moment, we will get another info. And in the case of our add-in, we want to get a hold of the attachment. But in add-in, we don't get actually the access to the binaries. We have to pull them from somewhere because they are not, even though if you think about email, well, that attachment is there, right? But it's not just, we cannot just grab the binaries. So one way to do that, and that's exactly what we do here, is based on the ID of the email that we get, and based on the ID of the attachment that we get, we pull them from REST. So we use the Microsoft Graph to connect to it, and to use these IDs to pull that attachment down. Does that make sense? Cool? All right. So you can do all of that in Angular. And you can do it on Mac. You can do it in React, jQuery, whatever rocks your boat. Knockout. Do you know some other frameworks that we could just throw into group?
Not really.
Vue, Ember, Aurelia. Yeah,
there are enough. So if you look at those objects that we have, that message object, Does that mean that I can go to another message, or is it always scoped to the context that I'm running in?
Yeah, so the add-in runs always. So the add-in that we have here is an email add-in, right?
Yeah.
So that only has access to the email on which you activated it.
So okay, so that code cannot go to another email and retrieve that.
Well, it could. Because if you granted the access, if it's backed by an Azure AD app and it can access the Microsoft graph, then based on that, it would be able to do anything you allowed it to. So if you would create, if you would, for example, allow it to, based on the email that you got, create a meeting,
yeah,
it would be able to do that, right? But it would do it not in the client. It would do it with the Microsoft Graph, which is a REST-based API based on the web. So you would just reach out to an API and create new meeting in OAuth or in Calendar, actually.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. So another, or would you like to know anything more about this add-in? Or is it good? You want to see another one? Yep.
Question.
So you get the contents of, so the question is, if you can access the contents of the email only via the graph. Yes and no. So the contents of the email, the body, subject, the from, all of that is already available. The only thing that's not available are attachments. So you get some, but for some other things, you have to still reach out. Excellent question.
Yeah.
So just last week, so it's really, really fresh, Microsoft announced support for the Microsoft Graph for Exchange 2016 on-prem. So in hybrid, if you run email on-prem and something else like Teams Sites, Collaboration, OneDrive in a cloud, you'll be able to use Microsoft Graph to reach out to your Exchange on-prem. So you will have one API. You won't need to use the Exchange Web Services in order to do that. You will be able to use the Microsoft Graph the same way you would use it online to access your on-prem info. Yes, sir. So will the add-in work also in Outlook client? Yes, it will. It will work exactly the same way. Yeah.
The interface will exactly be the same. It's a one-on-one. If you're trying to pull an attachment, then it will. The scenario here is there are two things. The add-in will work on-prem. So if you build a mail add-in that's only retrieving the topic or the content or is querying your own backend system, works fine. If you want to retrieve the attachments, you will need the Microsoft Graph to actually get the contents of the attachment.
So you can contact the Exchange server?
Yeah.
You also can contact your mail client. Because
it has right. I get it. Yeah, so yeah. The attachment does not know currently, the add-in does not know anything about the client. So it always reaches, so it only runs within the context that you see here. So that's the context that it gets. And while it can tell that it runs inside a client, it cannot access it. So unlike in COM add-ins, there's no way for you to reach to Outlook and to run some COM operation. You only have access to the JavaScript-based API for add-ins. So that's your abstraction layer. That also is the guarantee that the same add-in can run on iPad, in a browser, on a phone, and desktop, right? Because if you had dependency on COM, well, that would mean that you cannot run on a phone, right?
The other way around, if you look at the mail add-in, attachments are not working, but if you look at PowerPoint or Outlook or Word or Excel, Visio, you can access all contents from the file from those APIs. So if you want to manipulate your Word document or retrieve something from the document, you can do that. That's fairly easy. If you want to change metadata because the file is stored in SharePoint, that's something you couldn't do with this API, and you need the graph for that again.
Right, yep.
But does this also mean that you have access to the graph
No.
So actually, the question was, does that mean that we have by default from our Office add-ins access to Microsoft Graph? Yeah. The answer is no. It's a really short answer.
You have to fix that yourself.
Yeah, so actually by yourself, you have to go to AAD, register a new app, and then actually assign that app with your add-in. So that's exactly what we've done here. So whenever you build add-ins in Angular, you can use the AWS library built by Microsoft in order to easily authenticate your add-in or app against AAD. So with that, the only thing that you need is here you have additional piece of config that says the add-in, the IED of your app, and additionally, depending on what you want to do, list resources that you would like to access. And with that, you would be able to reach out to the Microsoft Graph, and the first time the user would access it, you would have the whole auth, flow, consent, approve the app, and then once that's done, you would have token to access the Microsoft Graph. Yes, yeah. That's correct, because we need to access, we need to get the list of my groups, and the only way for us to do that is to reach out to Microsoft Graph, and for that we have AAD app that's attached to this add-in. All right, we have a few minutes more to go. So with that, how about we show you another add-in? So here I am in the Word online, and I am editing a document in browser. Who has already seen that? Cool.
Word Online is pretty awesome.
Yeah. And here on the right-hand side, I have an add-in that allows me to find related documents to the one that I'm editing now. So I can type here, for example, Contoso, which is the name of the company related somehow to this document. And here, as you can see, we get a list of documents. I can also type something else, Northwind, which is another company in this document, and I can also find some additional stuff. But another thing that I can do is I can select here text, and then exactly that phrase will appear really fast. Pay attention to the text box on the right-hand side. 3, 2, 1, you ready?
No, demo.
Boom, there you go. It was fast, right? So that fast, we can access whatever the user does within the content to access all of that in our add-in, and now we can find everything related to that phrase in our add-in. So with that, we have access to the contents of our Word document, and in this case, the way it works, it's really simple. When you work with documents, you have events, right? So here, for example, you have the event type documents selection changed, which, surprise, surprise, is the event that occurs when you select something in document. And when that event is triggered, we run function that gets the texts that we selected and puts that text into a query. Right? And at that point, we stop. So we actually want, and what we also could do is to start search directly, right? But perhaps you want to add something else by yourself, right? So we just update UI and wait. And based on that, you can operate, you can interact with documents. So your add-in can react sitting on the side. It can respond to what the user does within document. And it can attach to tables, images, basically anything that you can embed inside document, your add-in can respond to. Cool? Nice? Nice and boring. It's also built in Angular. So I don't think we get any credits for that. Oh yeah, I promised you to show you what does that mean. Why do I walk with the weird t-shirt saying Yo Office? Like, why do I do that? So as I said, you can build these add-ins everywhere. I choose to do it on Mac. I like command line, and I like some other things that you might not. But the one thing that you can do with Office web add-ins, you can develop them the same way everywhere. So I can do that on Mac. Thank you. But you would be able to do exactly what I'm going to do now on Windows, exactly the same way. So what you can do is you type Yo Office, like that thing, Yo Office. And then you press enter, and then you see some weird thing on the screen. So like, welcome to the Office project generator by Office Dev, let's create a project. And that's exactly experience that you get when you want to build these add-ins on everywhere, on the web, right? So here you can pick a name. Let's start with my Office project. Let's just pick the same folder. And here you can choose which type, right? So we can choose from mail add-in, task pane add-in, content add-in. So let's go for mail. And then it will wait. I have no idea for what. And it's probably an error. No, no, no errors. All right, so here, the next thing that we can choose is which frameworks we want to use. So we can use just HTML, CSS, JavaScript. We can use Angular. We can use Angular ADAL, which is the option that you need if you want to reach out to Microsoft Graph. So you can either scratch or start from scratch and do everything by yourself, or you can say, yeah, let me do it for you. So with that, you will get the baseline that just works. The only thing it needs is the ID of your Azure AD app that actually has the access to the Microsoft Graph. You paste the ID of that app in your code, and you're good to go, and you don't have to do anything else. How cool is that? Save time. So let's do that. And then you can choose when the add-in should work. Where? So is it only on the read, compose, appointment, or email? So you can pick and choose what you want, and then there's some additional options as well. And then there's exactly the prompt that I said. So here is the GUI that you can get from Azure. You paste it here, and you're good to go. So you can just go with empty for now, because we can change it afterwards as well. There are some additional options that we have to add the buttons, and then at least one. I need at least one. OK, default. Everything. And then it's going to run. So now, and actually, what you see here is exactly the same as what you would do on Windows if you would go to File, New, Project, From Template, Office Add-in, click Next, click Next, click Next. You would end up with exactly the same. The fact is, I'm on Mac, so there is no Visual Studio for me yet. Well, there is just Visual Studio Code, but it's not the same. There is no File, New, Project, right? So that way, I can do it on Mac. It's actually poor man's templating engine. But the funny thing is, the same engine is actually used by .NET Core team, new SharePoint framework, and tons of other web-based projects not quite on Windows. So Node.js, Angular, React, Ember, Docker containers, anything. Everything is built on this Yo template engine.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so it's still running, producing files, installing dependencies, because all of that is based on Node.js. So it's a web developer-based toolchain that we get that actually allows us to create these new projects. And I think that we have to let it run.
Yeah, it's
almost done. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, it's mainly based on the internet connection here. I mean, we have to blame it on something. No, but yeah, there you go. It's good. And now if you open the project quickly, I think I'll get like one more minute to do it, because then we have to start wrapping up for the next presenter. You can see that you get all the files here, controllers, even the whole Angular app is already there. You only need to paste your own code, like what you want to do, and then you're done. And here, you actually need to insert the GUI, and you're good to go. So that's exactly how easy it is. So with that, let us quickly go back to slides.
We've got 10 more minutes, so.
Yeah, but there will be tons of questions asking about, like, how do you get this? What's Yeoman? Like, what are you talking about, people?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
So now that you built your first real add-in, what can you do? You can go to dev.office.com/getting-started. There you can find tons of resources explaining how you would actually install the Yo Office part, how you install NPM, Yeoman, stuff like that. It also explains what you can do if you want to run it in Visual Studio, so that makes sense. You can start coding. You can provide feedback on the user voice, so if you've got questions, just go there. And, obviously, publish your add-ins to the store. I mean, everyone wants to see your add-ins.
Now, why would you do that? Why would you publish your add-ins to store?
I don't know. Money. It sounds good. Yeah. So the idea behind the store is that there is one endpoint where you can add your add-ins or provide your add-ins for everyone to download. There is a payment method, so if you want, if you don't want to give them away for free, you can actually make sure that you make money of it. But the thing is, if you're going to publish to the store, there are a few requirements. And they're pretty straightforward, but they can quite, well, the first time that I actually build an build an add-in, it took
you
me build some
it
time.
With a virus.
I build in a virus. It contains inadmissible or offensive materials. No, without kidding. The first two are pretty straightforward. The third one, it must be stable and functional. That means that the Office team will actually try and run and install it on every different scenario that you can think of. And the first time I actually deployed an add-in, I got a question, it's not working in IE8. And I was like, do I have to support that? And they were like, yeah, you have to. Now, luckily, they skipped that one, I think 4 months ago or something like that. The thing is, just make sure that you test your add-in either on different clients and on different browsers just to make sure. Otherwise, it can take up to 2 weeks and then you get a rejection and, well, that's not nice to get.
And also, keep in mind that Office also runs on iPads now. So you also need, really must test your add-ins on iPad as well.
Sounds
seriously
like a good idea. And then the fourth one is that any and all materials that are associated with your add-in must be accurate. I also got a rejection once where my YouTube video on the help thingy was not up to date. And they were like, yeah, your help content is not up to date in regards to the add-in. We're not going to allow this. And we're like, ah, come on. So we deleted the YouTube video and we're all fine.
Now, so in other words, there is a group of people actually looking at what you've built and approving. There is no like stupid process that you can just skip through. No. It's really it's a group of folks trying to check that the add-ins that you've built is quality.
Yeah. Well, luckily for us, there are four handy links, and you all get the slide deck, so you can click on it. And not
they
to
will.
Yeah, probably.
No, they won't.
Yeah, they
won't. No, they have to write all of that down now.
I'm going to share. So the first one is the validation policies, and that's just a description of all the policies that you need to abide to and make sure that your app is doing that. The second one is a checklist for submitting, which actually makes sense because it allows you to see what are the check marks that the Microsoft team is actually benchmarking you against. It contains stuff like file size images, icon size, stuff like that. So there's quite a lot in there. There is a compatibility kit that allows you to scan your app once you have built it for any and all errors. They do that automatically if you submit the app, but you can speed up that process by checking it yourself, making sure that it is as valid as it can be before you actually submit it. And there is this nice article on creating effective store apps, explaining a little bit of how to set up licensing, how to set up pricing models, and how to communicate it from your add-in, how you could set up a trial environment, stuff like that. So there are some useful links to get you started. And with that, we're actually a few minutes
ahead. I mean, yeah.
That's not bad.
Come
questions.
On, so now we wait for all of you to ask stuff. I mean, we know that you really want to... Yes.
Yeah. the current API does not support... the question was, can you create Excel functions with it? The current API version does not support Excel, the creation of Excel functions yet. I know they're working on it. I've seen something in beta. I'm pretty sure everyone can see that in beta. But... yeah, there's no ETA on it yet.
Would you mind to share what would you like to achieve with it? Right. So in other words, they use Excel as the client to access your ERP, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Think of it. What you actually could do is you create a task pane add-in or a content add-in that goes to your backend system, retrieve the data based on whatever they fill in either Excel or in the input window. But it's not an Excel function, so it would work slightly different than in the current scenario. But retrieving the data and rendering and showing it should be fairly easy.
Yeah, and actually, perhaps on that note, slightly related to it, another thing that might or might not work for you, but it's definitely an interesting option, is imagine that you would like to calculate stuff based on Excel. So in Excel, you would have formula, and that would be really complex stuff, but you would want to have the ability to actually pass parameters to it. What you can now do is use REST API of Excel services to pass parameters to your Excel sheet and get the output. Does that make sense? So your Excel runs server-side on inch AirPoint, and then you use URL to pass parameters and get the output. So Excel is your calculating engine. REST is your UI, if you will, that you can access from applications, from apps, from your phone devices even, and then get the output of that. So you wouldn't share the logic. You would keep that server side to yourself, but you would have the benefit of actually using that to compute stuff. And actually, users who know the business but don't know technology that much would be able to maintain that, right? Because that's Excel. They know that, right? So perhaps somewhere in something in that area could be a bit related to it. No, well. Okay, so you keep that in mind for another case when you will have similar things that you could. So whenever you get a nail, you will be able to hit it with a hammer. But for that screw you have now, sorry.
Other questions?
Is there
already support for Outlook contacts? So do add-ins have support for Outlook contacts? No, they don't. You only can run them on emails and meetings.
Yeah, but currently. You could use the graph to create contacts. So
but what would the UI be? Right, so yeah, based on email, you could create a new contact, but there is no contact add-in. That whenever you open the contact card, you can have an add-in there. No, that's not an option now.
Other questions? So the question is, in general, if it's possible to add an add-in to the ribbon. Do you mean the waffle menu on the left where you can click, or the ribbon in
Word?
Yeah.
So okay. Like here, like when we edited document, like here, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or here or there, yeah.
No, I actually
mean
the
here.
That one.
Oh yeah, yeah. So yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So these are different tabs, and then whether you would be able to have your own tab, yeah.
If you look at Outlook, it's available, it's general available. So if you do anything with mail, you will have the option to add buttons and tabs. If you look at Word, PowerPoint, and Excel, I think it's in first release. I know they were working on it, so.
It will be available soon.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're talking about some things which will be released. What is the release period?
We don't work for Microsoft, so we don't know. However, luckily there is no, we didn't do it. there is roadmap available on the internet, but I'm not sure if it shares that much about when it will be available. So, sorry.
There were, I think, 3 sessions at the Ignite on building add-ins. I don't know if they actually announced a time frame, but they were talking about this quarter and the next quarter of what's coming. So it's rapidly improving.
Last one.
Final question.
It's a little bit sidetracked, but it's about improving your missed your session in mind. But I understand that you can access basically all the data you have on your cloud or many labels on your Exchange server. Does it mean that you can also access, for example, emails that are already archived to a Google or something like that?
So the question. the question is, can you use the Graph API to access emails that are archived? To as long as they're in Exchange Online currently and in the future in Exchange On-Prem, even though if they're archived, you should be able to retrieve them. I'm not 100% sure how to retrieve a message ID, because you need a message ID to retrieve a message for an archived item. I don't think they show up if you do a search for them, but I will try and figure out.
Yeah, I mean, if you can access your archive via REST, you will be able to do it.
Yeah.
So the only way, so the only thing for you to research is, can you access the archive via the REST API? And that will be something like graph.microsoft.com/v1.0/email/archive/beta/whatever. Yeah. Anyways, we have to go. I think we have to wrap it up.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.